Glory to God. Lord willing. Who knows? May not even. Who knows? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Romans 8:1 this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your precious holy word. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There is no possible way that any condemnation could ever be on anybody who is in Christ Jesus. If you're born again, you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you're saved, you're in Christ Jesus. So I want us to focus, first of all, on three words here. The words therefore, now, and no. Amen. There is therefore now. So because it said therefore, you have to stop and see what it's there for. So therefore doesn't refer back just to chapter 7. Therefore refers back to what's previously been said by Paul. You know, Paul wrote this as a letter. It didn't have chapters and verses in it. Man added that, you know, so that it'd be easy to find. If I was to say to you, find that place in Romans where it says there is therefore now no condemnation, some people would still be looking this afternoon. But I can tell you to turn to Romans chapter 8 and you turn right there. But you know, as I always say jokingly, you never wrote a letter to your mother and said, dear mother, chapter 1, verse 1. No, it's a letter. So you have to back up in the letter and see what he was talking about. And as you back up, really, it goes all the way back to the points he was making in Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And so the word therefore refers to a lot of things, but at least two different things that are important to us this morning that we want to see. The truth of justification or righteousness, the first thing therefore refers to is the truth of justification or righteousness taught to us by Paul in Romans 3, 4, and 5. Now understand that the words just, justification, justifier, and the words right, righteous, and righteousness, those are the same exact Greek words, all right? Same exact, might have a little bit different, but same exact. In other words, if you're right, you're just. If you've been justified, amen, then you're righteous. So those are the same exact Greek words. So the truth of justification or righteousness, how can anybody who is justified by God, how can anybody that's been made right with God be condemned? Is that possible? No, Romans 3, 4, and 5 tell us that we have been justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And so justification is God, God Almighty, in the courts of heaven, because of what Jesus did for us, God Almighty declared those that were ungodly and sinners righteous because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So I want us to read you some scriptures going back to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to look at these in the Amplified Bible. Romans 3:10, we'll start there. They'll put them up for you on the overhead. Because I know most of you probably aren't carrying the Amplified Bible around with you this morning. Romans 3:10, and most of these are pretty self-explanatory. But Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, that means apart from Jesus, on their own, by observing the law, by trying to be good enough, by trying to be holy enough, by trying to keep all the commandments, by trying to keep all the rules and regulations. There is none righteous, none that meets God's standard, not even one, nobody. On their own, apart from Jesus, or by their own goodness and by their attempts to be holy, can ever meet God's righteous standards and earn salvation. And then we'll look at Romans 3:20, and we'll follow that on down there a little bit. Romans 3:20 says, for no person will be justified, freed of guilt and declared righteous in his sight, in the sight of God, by trying to do the works of the law. Amen. For through the law we became conscious of sin, and the recognition of sin directs us toward repentance, but provides no remedy for sin. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been clearly revealed independently and completely apart from the law, though it is actually confirmed by the law, and the words and the writings of the prophets, verse 22, this righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those, Jew or Gentile, who believe and trust in Him and acknowledge Him as God's Son. Amen. I like the New Century Version, just to say something here. It said, God makes people right with Himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. This is true for all who believe in Christ, because all people are the same. This is kind of a parenthetical statement here. Everybody has sinned and fall short of the glorious standard, and all need to be made right with God by His grace, which is a free gift. They need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. So again, from the Amplified, let's read verse 22, or verse 23. Verse 22, then 23. This righteousness comes from God, verse 23. Since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God and are being justified, and we are justified, declared free of the guilt of sin, made acceptable to God, and granted eternal life as a gift by His precious, undeserved grace through the redemption, the payment for our sin, which is provided in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Romans 5, 8. We could read all of this, but we're just hitting some high points here. It says, God clearly shows and proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, therefore, since we have now been justified, declared free of the guilt of sin by His blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through Him? And then skip on down to verse number 17 there on the overhead. It says, for if by the trespass of one Adam, death reigned through the one Adam, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift, notice that it's a gift, the free gift of righteousness reign in eternal life through the one Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, one of the things that's revealed to us is righteousness is a gift. Amen. You don't earn a gift. You don't work for a gift. One definition of the word gift is to be given something you didn't earn or even seek after. That's what he said. He said, you were enemies of God. You weren't even looking for God. You weren't even, you know, God took it upon Himself to freely justify us through the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, where our sins were placed on Him as our substitute. We didn't deserve it or earn it, or even know how desperately we needed it, but God did it for us. Amen. Glory to God. So we are in right standing with God. We have legal right standing with God. What does it mean to be righteous? What does it mean to be justified? Well, sometimes we tell the kids, you know, in children's church, justified is just as if I had never sinned. Now, if you really believe that it's just as if you never sinned, would you be bold in the presence of God, or would you walk in there cowering and being timid and shy? You cannot go to heaven unless you are justified. And to be justified means that God perfectly accepts you and treats you just like you never made a mistake, just like you never sinned. He treats you like you are just as holy and righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ is, because you have His holiness, you have His righteousness. Amen. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. Amen. So Jesus took all of our sin upon Himself on the cross. And when we by faith receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we are made righteous. It's just as if we've never sinned. All of our wrongs, all of our sins were dealt with by Jesus. Amen. And we are 100% righteous, meaning that we can stand in the presence of God without any shame, without any guilt, without any inferiority, just like we had never done anything wrong. If you can't stand in His presence like that, then you need to get saved. You can't go to heaven unless you're righteous. And we are righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the second reason, therefore, you know, so we're going back to this, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation. So the number one reason he says, therefore, there is no condemnation, is because we have been made righteous in Christ Jesus, and we are not and we cannot be condemned. Because righteous people are not condemned. The second reason Paul said, therefore, goes back to Romans 6 and 7, which revealed to us that our old sinful nature, who we used to be, amen, that person died. That person was buried with Jesus. And you were raised up to new life. The old man you used to be inside spiritually, that person doesn't exist anymore. That man died. You're a new creature. You're in union with Christ. You're married to Christ. You're risen with Christ. You're alive in Christ. And just like Christ could never be condemned, and because we are in Him, we cannot be condemned. So the very moment a sinner trusts in the finished work of Christ, he becomes a born again, a righteous new creation. The person he used to be is dead and buried and done away with, and he's raised up, glory to God, alive to God, and he is not condemned. See, legally, the longest day you live in heaven, you'll never be any more righteous than you are today. Now, you can, the fruit of righteousness is holiness, and you should grow in holiness, and you should live a holy life as a Christian. You should, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But legally, before God, you're as righteous as you're ever going to get. You've got Jesus' righteousness. So therefore, we are not condemned. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Now notice this. This does not say, when it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, this doesn't say there is therefore no faults in those who are in Christ Jesus. This doesn't say there are no failures in those who are in Christ Jesus. This doesn't say those who are in Christ Jesus don't have wrong fleshly desires that they sometimes give into. That's not what this says. This does not say that those that are in Christ Jesus have no failings. It doesn't say that. And it's not that those things are unimportant, because later in this book, like Paul often does, he'll tell you who you are legally in Christ, and then he'll say, now that you are this, then you ought to live holy lives outwardly. And he's going to talk about that later in the book of Romans. But this isn't what this is talking about. So it doesn't say we have no failures, no faults. What it does say is, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Amen. And the revelation of this great truth, the awakening to this great truth, made alive and real to your spirit by the Holy Spirit, listen to me, is the first step to working out in everyday reality and practice what Jesus has already worked in you. Hallelujah. In other words, the way to begin to quit struggling with the flesh constantly and to live a holy life is to realize, the first step is to realize and to accept by faith and rejoice in the fact that in Christ Jesus, you are not condemned. Because people that feel condemned and act like they're condemned, even though legally they're not, they feel unworthy and they feel ashamed and they don't feel like they measure up. And so that's what they believe about themselves, and that's the way they act, and that's the way they live. But praise God, we are not condemned. So it says, therefore there is now. Now here means right now, in the present tense, at this very moment. This isn't something that's reserved for the future, something that's going to happen to you in the glory in heaven. But right now, you are not condemned. And then it says, therefore there is right now, right now, right now, right this very moment, no condemnation. The word no is a very strong word in the Greek. It's very emphatic. I said this to the crowd Wednesday night. I said, what does it mean to say something emphatically? It's like your child comes and asks you for something, and you tell them no, and they ask you again, and you tell them no, and they ask you again, and you tell them no. And the tenth time that they ask you, you said, I said no, and I mean no, no way. That's emphatic. There is therefore now no. There's not one bit of condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. There is not any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is absolutely no possible way that anyone who is in Christ Jesus could ever be condemned in any way. It's not possible. If you're saved, you're in Christ, and for you to be condemned, Christ would have to be condemned, and that's not possible. Glory to God. And the Bible, you remember, says, awake to righteousness and sin not. So when people realize they're righteous, even though they don't feel like it sometimes and smell like it sometimes and look like it, but when you begin to realize you are righteous and that Jesus has already broken the power of the devil over your life and broken the power of sin over your life and that you're in Him and that power is available to you, then that becomes the first step to being able to live out that righteousness in everyday reality and live like you should live. Amen? And then it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We must not misinterpret what it means when he says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you misinterpret that, you will miss everything that Paul teaches on Romans chapter 8, and you will miss the secret to victory in life. Amen. So listen carefully. This is not saying if you try real hard to be justified, if you try real hard to be righteous, you know, and you obey all the commands, if you do that real hard and you try to be good enough, and then even as a Christian, you try to live holy, then you'll not be condemned. That's not what he's saying. That's not what it means to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we cannot reduce walking in the Spirit to just putting ourselves back under the law, where we try to be justified, we try to be made right with God, and where even after we're born again, we try to live holy lives in our own fleshly attempts. No, you're going to come up guilty. You're going to feel condemned because you can't do it. You're going to struggle. You see? You follow me? Amen. And so walking after the flesh here means depending on your own strength. He says you cannot depend on your own strength, depending on your own ability, your own fleshly attempts, and self-help strategies, management strategies, self-help strategies. I'm going to discipline the flesh. I'm going to have wrong willpower. I'm going to do all these religious do's and don'ts. I'm going to observe these religious practices and this religious practice and so that I can be holy, so that I can be right with God. And if you do that, if you try to do that, you will end up feeling condemned because you will come up short every time because you will know you do not measure up and you won't have the power to overcome like you should. Amen. If you do that, you'll put yourself right back into Romans chapter 7. You know, we didn't read that a while ago, but because he says, therefore, it goes back to this. Paul said, he talked about not understanding the necessity to have the power of the Spirit in your life. For he said in verse 15, you know, he's talking about it after he was born again. He said, verse 15, for what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And then in verse 19, he said, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. And those that think walking after the Spirit and saying no to the flesh, if you just reduce that to, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to be more religious, I'm going to keep all the rules, you're going to find out that you put yourself right back in Romans chapter 7 and you're going to struggle and the flesh is going to continually have the victory over you even though you're sincere and even though you truly love God. No, you got to get into Romans chapter 8 where he says, listen, in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation to you. And if you'll quit trying to do it in your own strength and ability and you'll let the Spirit help you, then you'll overcome. Amen. Amen. So walking in if you walk according to the Spirit, that means believe what the Word says about you. See, the Word and the Spirit agree, and the Spirit of God will take those truths in Romans chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and throughout the rest of the Bible, you know, and tell you that you'll read sin has no power over you, and He'll make that alive and real to you on the inside of you. And when you believe that, then the power comes. When you believe by His stripes you're healed, that's when you get healed. You don't make yourself healed. You don't earn healing. You believe you're healed, and then the power comes. So a part of walking in the Spirit is allowing the Spirit of God to reveal the truth to you and make it alive and real to your spirit. Because when you really know the truth, because you got a revelation of the truth, and that only comes by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So that's part of it. The other part of walking in the Spirit is you have to follow after the leadings of the Spirit, the promptings of the Spirit. Glory to God. You have to rely on His help and power and His enablement. Amen. And when you do that, see, when you don't try to do it in your own ability and in your own strength, and you rely on the Holy Spirit, and you know that you're not condemned, then you'll not live in Romans chapter 7 where Paul struggled in the flesh, but you'll get it over into Romans chapter 8 where you walk in victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It's interesting that in all of the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1 through 7, those first seven chapters, the Holy Spirit is mentioned one time. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times in Romans chapter 8. That's interesting, isn't it? So it's real simple. We can't be saved by our own power, nor, even after we're saved, nor can we live holy lives by our own power. So we're not, if we're not trying to do it in our own power, and if we are totally dependent on the Word and the Spirit, then we will not feel any condemnation. And we will successfully overcome our flesh. Glory to God. Romans 8:13 says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Notice it's by the Spirit that you mortify or crucify the deeds of the flesh. By the Spirit. It's really interesting. The scripture says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Die there doesn't mean you will physically die. It means that you'll experience manifestations of death in your life. Amen. In other words, you'll experience the effects of death. Romans 8:2 says, "The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death." Death in the Bible means physical death. It means spiritual death, where you're separated from God. But death in the Bible also means wrong existence, living in a way that God never intended for you to live. When you live in shame and guilt and fear and depressed and sick and broke and defeated, and your flesh is running over you, and the devil's got all kind of strongholds built up in your mind, and you don't feel like anybody loves you, and you don't feel like you're worthy, that's the realm of death. That comes under the law of the Spirit of life. I mean, that comes under the law of sin and death. And so one translation says, if you live according to the flesh, you will experience defeat. But if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live victorious Christian lives. Amen. I said amen. Another translation says, if you live according to the flesh, you will not be able to live a victorious Christian life. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live, you will walk in victory. Glory to God. Listen, if it was possible to be better on our own, we wouldn't need God. If we could be saved on our own, we don't need Jesus to die on the cross. And even after we get saved, we could just do it in our own ability. You know, you don't get saved and just revert back to, okay, now I'm just going to go back to, I'm going to obey all the rules. No, you put yourself right back under the law, and that's a formula for misery. That's a formula for failure. And so it's impossible to be made right with God. And it's actually, the Christian life isn't just hard apart from the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. But you see, the Holy Spirit is our secret weapon. Glory to God. I said the Holy Spirit is the secret to victorious living. He's our secret weapon. He gives us power and help from on high to overcome. Hallelujah. And when we shift from self-power to Spirit power, that's a game changer. I said when we shift out of being, trying to do it on our own, self-power, to Spirit power, that's when we experience God in all of His grace. That's when we begin to grow in holiness. That's when we become effective in the kingdom of God. You remember what Zechariah 4:6 said? It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, it's not your power, it's not your smarts, it's not your might, it's not all your strategies. Now, sometimes the Holy Ghost is giving you those strategies, but I'm just saying it's not just human wisdom and human abilities and you being sincere and you trying harder. No, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said if the Holy Spirit, one man said this is good, now watch this. He said if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. You know, that may be true. If the Holy Spirit were suddenly taken away from the church, 95% of what we're doing in the body of Christ would keep on going on and nobody would know the difference. That's mind-boggling. People are sincere, but they just, you know, to be effective, to really build the kingdom, to really do something that's long-lasting, you have to do it by the Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. Not by might. Not by power. Not by my might. Not by my smarts, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not only that, you know, you can't overcome spiritual battles. You can't really overcome spiritual battles. You can't really deal with the flesh without the help and power of the Holy Spirit from on high. And we have it. But having it and using it is two different things. So we have to know what the Bible says, claim our rights and use the name of Jesus and tap into the Spirit's help and power. You know, one of the things that makes the United States military, I mean in the natural, apart from God, but the United States military in the natural is the greatest military force this earth has ever known. Now, I know they didn't have angels of chariots and fire, you know. They might have at times, but you understand. But one of the things that makes our military so outstanding is because of our air superiority. We have power from on high in the air. We'll rain down bombs on your head from a ship that's 400 miles away. And so countless battles have been won by our soldiers on the ground when they were tremendously outnumbered and tremendously outgunned. You can see it in movies based on fact. You can read it. You can look up battle after battle after battle where, in essence, our guys went out there and they were outnumbered and they were outgunned, but we had a secret. We had some power from on high. We had some capabilities that they didn't know. So our guys that were on the ground, even though they faced tremendous odds, they would paint the target. You know what paint the target means, don't you, Doug? Paint the target. Doug's a Sergeant Graham on the deputy sheriff. And when they would paint the target, today they do it through lasers and all kind of sophisticated stuff. But in the old days, here's a guy in a foxhole. And now, you know, when you're in battle and you know, sometimes the enemy, their lines and your lines are not that far apart. So you can't make a mistake here. You'll kill your own people. And so they're about to be overrun, overwhelmed. Many battles throughout history, many battles where our guys were about to be totally wiped out, but a guy gets on his little radio or whatever, and he calls for an airstrike, and he says they are right up there. He paints the target. He tells the plane where they're at. He gets longitude, latitude, you know, so forth. And so that plane comes down, and he rains down hell on them. And they are totally wiped out sometimes and totally defeated. And our guys win the battle because they had that extra power, that power from on high. Glory to God. Amen. Matter of fact, I looked this up. I hadn't seen the movie yet, but I looked up the movie. So I'm not recommending to you, but I looked up the movie 12 Strong Men. And this is a modern day situation because I think it's rated R, and it may be rated R because of highly respected minister recommended it may be rated R just because it's got violence in it. You know, I don't think it's got dirty stuff in it, but you know. But our guys are in Afghanistan and they're on horseback. You know, because they're in Afghanistan and they can't get around. They can't use their jeeps. They can't use their ATV type vehicles to get around. They're on horseback and there's only 12 of them. Now they have the help of some locals, but they end up face to face and they're fixing to do battle with the enemy. And they got tanks. Don't take horses to a tank battle. You know, what did he say in that movie? You know, you brought a knife to a gunfight. And so they're down there, our guys, just 12 of them, they're on horseback. And they're down there and they've got these trucks. You know, you see these on these movies, they got these trucks. And on the back of these trucks are mounted these machine guns. They got several of them, and then as you just look around and see, they've got a bunch of tanks. And our guys are on horseback. And even with the Afghani natives that are helping them, there's only 20 or 30 of our guys, and there's 500 or 600 of these guys, and they're fixing to do battle with them. That is not a formula for success. Except that our specialized forces painted the target. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here come these B-52 bombers, and they come down and they rain. They poured their bombs down and devastated the enemy. And our guys won. And when we call on God, He is the Most High. You're talking about high power. He's the Most High. He's the Most. We've got power on high. We've got God. We've got the Holy Spirit. And when we call on God, when we depend upon the Holy Spirit, when we believe the Word of God that the Holy Spirit makes alive and real to our spirit, power from on high comes down. And I don't care how many tanks they've got. They're the ones bringing a knife to a gun battle. We're the ones with all the power. David didn't look too tough, but David called on God. And David confessed the word of God. And David said, I've got a covenant with God. And Goliath said, you're coming against me with a stick? But it was Goliath that was coming to the fight with the stick, because David had the power of God behind him. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. So let me give you quickly, because I always want to, make truth, make it easy for people to understand, because I know this is a little bit of an art form when we talk about following the Holy Spirit and depending on the Holy Spirit. But let me quickly, I'm going to give you 7 practical ways to receive the help and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm talking about to help you in your marriage. I'm talking about to help you in your finances. I'm talking about to help you rear your children. I'm talking about to help you with your finances, to help you on your job, to help you in your health, to help you overcome things, to help you overcome wrongful things, things like pride and lust and resentment and addictions and eating disorders. Some things aren't sin, but they're things you don't need in your life. These are things you can do to help you overcome depression and fear and condemnation and on and on. So number one, identify the problem. Recognize the areas that you need help in. Don't ignore them. Identify the problem. If you're really sincere and you really love God, you might say, I know that I'm not being the husband I should be. I'm just not there. Well, don't condemn yourself. There's no condemnation. But recognize the problem and ask God to help you. I said, recognize the problem and ask God to help you. Amen. Call on God to send His heavenly B-52 bombers. So recognize the problem. Identify the problem and ask God to help you. Number two, renounce any wrong behavior and repent of it. See, some problems, depression is not a sin. You just need help with it. But other things are a sin. And so if what you need help with has to do with a sin, instead of just condemning yourself and wallowing in the mud and thinking that you're not worth anything and hiding from God, don't hide from God. Run to God and ask Him to help you. But renounce it. Don't justify it. Don't excuse it. Renounce it. Repent of it. And ask God to help you. Glory to God. Amen. But repent of it. Number three, find scriptures, plural. Everybody say plural. That deal with your specific situation. And then spend time meditating on those scriptures and confessing them until by the Spirit you get a revelation of what's being said. Find scriptures that deal with your particular situation and meditate on those scriptures until they explode in your heart as a divine revelation by the Spirit of God. You can know the word, you can quote the word, you can remember the word of God says something, but it makes no difference in your life whatsoever until you really, really believe it, until you act on it and confess it, not because I told you to act like it's true, not because I told you to confess it, but because you really believe it, that it is the absolute truth. When it explodes, see, we have to realize, you cannot get a revelation apart from the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. We haven't realized that as much. This is where the Holy Spirit comes into play. But so it doesn't matter what it is. It could be by His stripes you're healed. You can know that. You can agree with that. You can understand it, but still not be healed. But when that explodes in your heart as a divine revelation, as Sherry said Friday night at her ministry's meeting, a revelation changes everything. Revelation. I can do all things through Christ's strength. I can do all things through Christ's strength. I can do all things through Christ. But then you really believe you can do all things. Why do you really believe it? Because you got it deep in your heart. So it's so important. You're gonna find out whether it might be you're dealing with depression. It might be you're dealing with some addiction. It might be you're dealing with an eating disorder. It doesn't matter what it is. Go and find some scriptures that deal with that specific thing. And just write those scriptures down on a card, think about them, meditate on them, study them, quote them to yourself, confess them to yourself, yes, mutter them to yourself, amen. And sooner or later, it'll get down on the inside of you and it'll explode. I've had people come to me before and almost grab me up by my collar. Now, you know how much I teach on faith around here. You know how much I teach on healing. But I've had people come into my office, burst through the door, and almost grab me by my collar and say, did you know by His stripes I'm healed? Say, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that for about 15 years now. I mean, I don't say that to them, but why? Because and that's when it changed their life. That's when the power came, when they believed it. But you don't believe it unless you get a revelation of it. And so, yes, you have a part to play. The Holy Ghost is not going to get those scriptures for you. You've got to go get those scriptures. He's not going to meditate on them for you. You've got to do it. But when you do your part, amen. Oh, glory to God. I like my daughter Heather sitting right there. And David, when he went out to face Goliath, he went out and gathered how many stones? How many? You can say it. How many? Five. And Heather said the Lord told her, he said, go and get you five scriptures to do battle with. You might read, you might look up 25 or 30 or 35, but find you five good scriptures and, I mean, hammer down on those. I mean, just keep them before your eyes. Sin has no dominion over me, whatever it is. And just read them and study them and read them until they explode in your heart as a divine revelation. Glory to God. So identify the problem. Ask God to help you with it. Renounce any wrong behavior. Repent of it. Find scriptures that deal with your situation. Meditate on them until they explode in your heart as divine revelation. And then number four, quickly reject and cast down any thought that's contrary to those scriptures you discovered. I mean, you found scriptures that told you, you know, this is what you should be doing as a husband. This is what you should be doing as a wife. This is the way you should forgive people. And so any thought that comes to your mind, any thought, any suggestion, any feeling, any dream, any voice, any reasoning, any thought that comes to your mind that's contrary to the truth of God's Word, cast it down and replace it with the Word of God. I'm sorry I'm not making these real easy to write down, but that's because I didn't make them really easy to write down for myself. But would quickly reject and cast down any wrong thought, any thought out of line with the Word of God. Quickly reject and cast down any thought that's contrary to God's Word and replace it with the Word of God. You know, fear thought comes to your mind. I reject you, fear. See your kid walking out, getting in the car. I reject you. And your thought, oh, they're going to get hurt. I reject you, fear, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says He protects us and gives His angels charge over us. Number five, I said I was going to be quick. Be sensitive to obey any leadings of the Spirit you have concerning your situation. Be sensitive to obey any leadings of the Spirit you have concerning your situation. Keep in mind, the primary way that God leads and directs all of us is by that still, quiet inner voice. It's not, He's not going to write it in the sky for you. He might talk to you through somebody else. You might hear things you need to hear through a message or by reading something. But it's that inner knowing, that inner perception. So whatever He gently nudges you to do or not do, do it. Don't violate your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of the Spirit in your heart. If you know in your heart, I don't think I should do it, then don't do it. I should start doing this, then do it. See, whatever He inspires you to do, whatever He leads you to do, whatever He impresses you to do, do it. Remember Paul went on that cruise, you know, and they didn't listen to him, but Paul said, I perceive. See, God didn't say anything. He just said, I just perceive in my spirit we shouldn't do this. And so the Lord will talk to you about your diet. He'll talk to you about what you should eat. You know, everybody's different. You don't have to go put that on everybody else because, you know, like one man said, he said, this guy got out and told everybody in the world they should never borrow under any circumstances. He said, I know why God told him that. He owed everybody in town. but you may think it's not even related to what you're dealing with, but whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do or shows you to do or impresses you to do or leads you to do, do that. He'll tell you to do something with your child that he won't tell this one and so forth and so on. But if it's really the Holy Ghost, then it'll work. And it'll help you. It'll make all the difference. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Number six, live a surrendered life to God. You could almost start with that one. I don't have these in it. But, you know, if you're not serious about God and you don't live a surrendered life, truly live for God and seek first His kingdom. Glory to God. And number seven, stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. That's just a modern day way of saying abide in the vine. Jesus said, abide in the vine. If you cut the branch off, you know, it cannot produce fruit. We know that. That's impossible. So stay connected to Him. Amen. Because apart from Him, you can do nothing. I like to give this illustration sometime. I said, you can't go out there at 3:30 in the morning. I night fish a lot. Believe me, everything is dead. At 11, it's still happening. At 12, it's still happening, but not at 3:30. You cannot go out at 3:30 in the morning and sneak up on a peach tree or sneak up on an apple tree. If you do, you will not see it out there struggling to produce fruit. Those branches just stay connected to the trunk. And they receive all this, whatever the scientific stuff, how about that? They need to produce the fruit. And so when you stay connected to Jesus, you just naturally receive the help and strength and anointing and ability of the Holy Ghost that you need. Glory to God. So stay connected to Jesus. Amen. And every day practice, the way to do that is, or is spend time every day in the Word, spend time in prayer, live a praise life. I said live a praise life. Somebody says, well, you know, praise just really isn't my thing. Really? The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath? Then it's your thing. Oh no! You know, it's if you according to if you got breath, you were meant to praise. I said, if you've got breath, you were meant to praise. And so I tell you, one of the greatest things you can do is just develop a praise life personally, and when you come together corporately, spend time praising, and then just listen to praise. We're talking about practical. Just listen to praise music. Listen to, now you know you got to listen to anointed stuff. There's some stuff wouldn't help you more, no more than, you know, listen to the Bee Gees or something. So I don't care if it is gospel. Listen to anointed stuff. And there's plenty of it out there. Praise God. Listen to anointed stuff and go to church. Praise God. Amen. So trust God. Everybody say trust God. Trust God. And depend on the Holy Spirit's help. Amen. And the problems you face in life, the challenges you face in life, the callings you have to do something for God. See, it's not just about you overcoming. We've got something to do. We want to go out and be a blessing to others. Don't we? I mean, above all, I want to use my faith for others. I want to use my prayer for others. I want to use my finances for others. I want to help others. I want to be others-minded. But I don't care how much I'm others-minded. If I don't do it under the unction, the anointing, and by the might and power of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be effective. It's not going to last. It's not going to do them much good. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my Spirit. So if you want to successfully help others, if you want to successfully overcome the flesh, if you want to successfully deal with the problems and challenges of life and overcome the devil, glory to God, then trust in God and depend on the Holy Spirit and you'll have air superiority. I mean, from on high, the power of God will come down. Glory to God. Amen. And that's the secret to success. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. That's. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gloria Copeland said, don't try to slip by saying, well, I praise in my heart. That's not enough. The Word says you need to have it in your mouth. Many scriptures. Let the saints shout for joy. You can't shout and be quiet at the same time. Glory to God. I tell you something. Sometimes we just do what God tells us to do. We don't even know why He's telling us to do it. But we just do it mechanically because God said do it. If He said, lift up your voice and praise God, then I lift up my voice and I praise God. But then all of a sudden, there's a freedom in that, and there's an experience in that that you've never had before because you've never done it before. Because when you do things the way God says do them, even if you don't understand why, it produces good things in your life and in your spirit and even in your mind and mental health and emotions. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Do that with me right now. Real quick, do that with me. Is there an area that you say, I'm struggling in this area? It may not be a sin. It could be, but it may not be a sin at all. But just an area that you're struggling in and you say, Lord, just say, Lord, I need help with this. Paint the target. Call for help. Say, Lord, in this particular area, I need help with. In dealing with this and dealing with that, in my health, I need help with this. If it's a sin, everybody's got that, you know, just between you and God. If it's a sin, renounce it. That means repent. Turn from it. Say, Lord, I repent. And then you probably already know scriptures, but if you don't, go home and find scriptures that cover your situation. Meditate in those scriptures. Glory to God. And then the one of the way the Lord's going to help you is He's going to gently nudge you to do this. He's going to show you to quit. You need to quit doing this. Well, I never realized that was part of the problem. That's part of the problem. He knows things you don't know. Whatever He leads you to do or tells you to do, just obey Him. Praise God. Amen. Follow His leadings and nudgings. Amen. Praise God. Be sensitive to that and follow Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Live surrender to Him and just spend time with Him. You say, well, I can't spend 2 hours a day with Him. Well, just make up your mind, I'm going to spend 10 minutes. If you've never done it, say, I'm going to do 10 minutes and then do it. Stick to it. Find you a place to get along with God, 10 minutes. If you do it. The key is to be consistent about it, to do it regularly. If you do, it'll grow into 15, it'll grow into 20, it'll grow into 30, and you'll love doing it. It won't be a hard thing to you. You'll love it. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, look at me. Jesus said, I will not leave you defenseless. I will not leave you like an orphan. I will come to you and I will give you another spirit. See, He was with him. He said, I'll give you one that's like me that'll be with you everywhere I go. I will give you the Spirit of God. He will help you. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He'll be right there with standby power. He'll be right there to counsel you. He'll be right there to help you in any way that you need help. And He will live in you. I will not leave you like an orphan. An orphan is helpless. An orphan has to fend for themselves. An orphan is abandoned. He said, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to give you the mighty Holy Ghost. And He's going to live on the inside of you. And He's going to be the difference maker in your life in every way possible. Say it out loud. Say, I trust in and I depend on the Holy Spirit. Greater is He that's in me, that's in the world. I'm not condemned. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. In Jesus' name. Now shout about that just a little bit, why don't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I need to do this before we go. It says, if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does the Holy Ghost dwell in you? He will quicken or give life to your mortal body. You know, that's a healing scripture. It means other things too, but that's a healing scripture. This morning, if you will allow it, call, paint the target. Say, here's the target, Lord, right here. Here's the target right here in my ears. Here's the target right here in my back. Here's the target right here. Paint the target and allow the Holy Ghost to quicken, make alive, heal your mortal body right now. Be healed. Be quickened. Be made alive by the Spirit in your body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I receive it by faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Even as we age, Father, we thank you that the outward man is growing older and older, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And what happens on the inner man affects the outward man. So we thank you that our physical bodies are quickened by the Holy Spirit this morning. Throughout this auditorium, I thank you for a quickening of the Holy Spirit in everybody's body. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, as Brother Hagin got older and older, I heard him say one day, he said, the Holy Ghost has touched my body. He said, you know, it hadn't been any particular thing wrong with just, he's just older, you know. He said, hadn't been anything wrong with me, but you know, it just don't feel on top of your game all the time physically. But he said, I've had a touch, a quickening by the Spirit. Glory to God. And my body's just rejuvenated. Amen. That's why I used to think they were funny when I was 30, but I don't do those cards to make fun of being old. I don't send those to people because I don't believe that. Amen. I was at a meeting right down there in Atlanta, Georgia, and Brother Hagin was praying for people. Brother Copeland was sitting on the front row, and as he walked by Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland, by the Spirit of God, just laid their hands and prayed for him and asked the Lord to touch his body. And he said, thank you. I need that. I need that. We need the quickening power of the Holy Spirit in our bodies. Of course, if you're sick, if you need that, and you can be sick at any age, but when you're 65 and 75 and 85, you need it. Thank God we have it. I said, thank God we have it. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Amen. We'll say the Lord is good. He's good to me. I'm an overcomer. I always win. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.